You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Dog Pound, tune into the Cleveland Browns Mike Pettine Show tonight at 7 p.m. right here on ESPN 850, hosted by myself, Nathan Zgur, and Ken Carmen. We'll be at Razzle's out in Olmsted Falls. Travis Coons will be in the house as well, Mr. Perfect himself. Before we get there, we've got some things to do here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. And it's going to start with the defensive coordinator, Jim O'Neill.
It's obviously a big win for our team last week, and it's huge for the Dog Pound for us to get that win. I was proud of how our guys finished in crunch time. I was proud of how some of the guys stepped up in some of the roles that they were thrusted into, given some of our injuries. Denver Broncos coming into town this week. It's a great opportunity for us as a team and as a defense. Chance to go against Peyton Manning at quarterback. Good offense. I got weapons at every level of their offense. And we know as a defense we got to execute it at a high level. We got to put our guys in position to make some plays. For us to be in this game and get a victory.
When you play a guy like Peyton, does it feel like you're not only going against the coordinator, but you're also going against like kind of two coordinators because he can change plays and all that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, a lot of it's like a couple weeks ago with Philip Rivers. You know, he's got a lot of flexibility at the line of scrimmage to check plays and, you know, attack coverages that he might see or fronts that he might see. But yeah, it's like you're going against a damn good player and a damn good offensive coordinator all at once.
Jimmy, are there times where he's just kind of posturing out there and not necessarily changing anything, but
sure,
making him look like he's changing things?
Yeah, that's, you know, he's been doing that forever. So you got to be careful about listening too much to what he's saying out there.
He is ranked 30th among quarterbacks this year. So what is not working as well as it has in the past?
To me right now, he's undefeated. Their team's undefeated. On the tape, he still looks like, to me, he's playing at a high level. I think that as the year's gone on, he's getting more comfortable in the new offensive system. Each game, you could kind of tell that. So if the numbers are low, the wins are high. So they're doing something right. You know, Pierre had to step in again when Joe went down, and I thought he did a nice job in there in the second half and in overtime. Jordan Poyer had to come in for Tashawn Gibson. He did a really good job. He got a game ball last week. He's probably had his best game defensively as a Cleveland Brown, and we really challenged him 2 weeks ago. You know, he made some mistakes out there that I know he wished he had back, and he did a great job responding for us. We had some young guys up front play well. You know, Xavier Cooper continues to do some good things for us. And Nate Orchard did some good things on the edge for us. Tank went in there. We're thin at the inside backer position with Craig being down. And Tank went in there and made some nice plays for us. So it was good just to see all those guys step into, you know, bigger roles than what they might have been expected going into the year and do some good things for us defensively. For Tashawn Gibson?
Yeah.
Well, I don't think it'll be a lost season. He had a little bit of an ankle. You know, he's looked good this week. You know, I'm still hoping that he's got a chance for this upcoming weekend. So, but he's been playing when he's been out there. He's been outstanding for us. You know, I know everybody wants to look at the stats, but you know, as far as his eye discipline, his ability to show up in the run game, to scare a quarterback from throwing the ball down the middle of the field. When he was in there, he was playing great for us. He was playing a lot better at the beginning of this year than he played last year for us. So, you know, I'll be excited to get him back.
Well, why do you have only one interception, Jim? You had 21 in 2014. Why just – and none since that first
game? Yeah. You know, they – turnovers come in bunches. You know, we got to – we got to make some plays. We got to put our guys in position to make some more plays by affecting the quarterback. And when the quarterback does throw us one, we got to make sure we catch it. You know, we've had some opportunities to pick a few balls off, and we've ended up with some PBUs or the wide receiver does a nice job getting a hand in there. But, you know, we're not coaching it any different. You know, the scheme's not that much different. We're still turnover Thursdays. You know, today, if they get four, the coaches do push-ups. If they don't, they do push-ups. So, I mean, we're doing all the same stuff that we've always done in the past. You know, the last 2 years of this system, you know, the first year when we were in Buffalo and then our first year here in Cleveland, we've had a lot of success turning the ball over. So we're hoping for the for the wave of them to come here. No, I think Paul's doing a good job for us. I know that the stats haven't been there. You know, I mean, I think Paul went 8 games last year without having a sack in him. It's just like turnovers. Sacks come in bunches. Paul has done a really good job affecting the quarterback. You know, he's gotten the quarterback off of his spot. He's doing a good job getting push on the offensive tackles. You know, we're asking him to do a lot of things defensively, and he's been a real pro and a team guy. You know, just the way last week felt, or the you know, way the game played out, you know, I know Pet explained the whole thing to you guys about how we packaged it. You know, we had 5 outside backers up. We were trying to roll all those guys to get them all reps, to keep them all fresh throughout the game. So we had edges that could, you know, we were humming out there. And, you know, just the other guys ended up with some more reps. I don't see that being a constant thing week in and week out. You know, Paul's going to get his reps. If you have 60 reps, you'd like Paul to be out there for 40 to 45. You don't want him out there for every one because he's your best pass rusher, and you want your best pass rushers fresh at times, especially in the fourth quarter when you need them to go win in a two-minute situation.
How do you account for Mingo's 4 snaps and then just his whole situation this year? Like, why wasn't he more of the Sam Backer at the beginning of the year like he was last year?
Yeah, I mean, it became a little bit of a crowded position group. You know, I talked to Ming this week. I got to do a better job getting him going and getting him involved. And that's our plan moving forward.
And why hasn't he been? Because it got crowded?
No, it's just, you know, he had the injury. You know, so he you know, he was gone for a while. And then we're trying to, you know, we had packages up for him last week. We just couldn't get to him the way that game ended up, you know, being played in the second half. So we just couldn't get to those packages. So, you know, he's got a big part of our game plan this week. He has had a big part of our game plan every week. So, but, you know, it's, you can never predict how it's going to go and, you know, what packages you're going to end up in and, you know, what down and distances you're going to end up in more. So. I thought he did some really good things. You know, obviously the 2 penalties were 2 not so good things. That's been addressed with him, but I do think he popped in the middle of the defense. Yes.
You have such high hopes for Solomon coming into the season. Did his injury cause issues that have a ripple effect in terms of trying to figure out how you're going to shuffle guys around?
I did have high expectations of Scott. Anytime a guy gets injured that you're counting on as a key backup or a starter, you know, it always causes a ripple effect and you got to adjust. You know, every team has to go through that. But, you know, I'd be lying to you if I didn't say I was excited about Scott Solomon going into the year. You know, I feel horrible for the kid because I know how hard he's worked and just given his past, you know, cut here, cut there, cut here. And then he gets a chance here, and he ends up turning an ankle in the second play of the season, and then he ends up with a knee injury in the beginning of the second quarter of this past game. It's tough, but that's the game. You know, it's a violent game, and injuries are going to happen. Excuse me?
You feel like you've solved it yet with him being gone?
Are you still living? Yeah. Absolutely. You know, we got to step up. We got to put them in position to make plays, and we got to go. You know, it's next man up.
When you talked about Gibson, you know, looking good this week, how do you determine that when he's not practicing?
How he feels, how he's in the meeting room, what they're saying treatment-wise, walking around in the walkthroughs, that kind of stuff.
Hey, Jim, what about the guys Pete's going to? Thomas and Sanders, and, you know, we had Jordan over here for a little bit. Just how talented are those guys and what a challenge it is for you, especially as Joe's down?
Yeah, no, they're special. Both those wide receivers are difference makers. You know, they got a difference maker throwing them the ball, and they're difference makers catching the ball. You know, anytime a team has 2 difference makers on the outside, it's definitely a challenge.
Did you elaborate on the decision to play Tank Carter as much as he did, and how do you think he did?
Tank? you know, with us being thin at inside backer, you know, when you lose a guy like Craig, if you ask Kirko to step on that role, it hurts our special teams, you know. And so, you know, we tried to roll some guys that way the Kirksies of the world could still have a role and help us on special teams. We know special teams is a big part of what's going to help us win and lose football games. So, and we thought Tank deserved to get some plays on defense. You know, he's done a really good job for us in practice. He had a good spring, so it was a good opportunity to get him out there. And he had, there were some plays that I know he wishes he had some backs, kind of some growing pains of being out there for the first time, but he made a lot of good plays for us. He did a good job in the box against the run, and he made some nice plays in the pass game. Yeah, again, we ended up in that, you know, in one of our subgroupings where we had him as a starter. If you would ask me if we were going to end up in that grouping that much going into the game, I probably would have said no. But that's how the game went. And I think Nate's just getting better every week. You know, I think that the production and the stats will eventually pop. But he's gotten better and better and better and better each week he's been here. So I'm happy with where he's at and the direction he's going in his first year.
Easy is not the right word, but since you know now you won't have Joe Hayden, does that make practice, getting Pierre ready or whatever, better than in that San Diego game when?
I didn't know that Joe definitely wasn't going yet this week, so I'm still holding out.
Oh, okay.
I'm still holding out for Joe and Gip to go this week. So we kind of have plan A, plan B going right now as a coaching staff. So, but Joe obviously didn't practice yesterday. We'll see what he can do today. If he can, it's a good situation for Pierre and guys like Batty and guys like Justin because they're getting a lot more practice reps. Whereas when a guy gets hurt in game, a lot of times those guys don't get a lot of reps and you're kind of adjusting on the fly with them. So if those guys can't go, then the guys who are going to replace them will be more prepared than if they got hurt in game.
What did you see on the penalty with K1 last week? What did you talk to him about?
I thought he did exactly what he's coached to do.
That was defensive coordinator Jim O'Neill there focusing on the task at hand, and it's always a tough task when you go against a guy like Peyton Manning. And when we come back, we will talk about the offensive matchups between the Browns and the Broncos for this Sunday, Matt, and I want to get your take on what it's like to go against Peyton Manning, something you did not only a few times, but also very effectively a few times down there with the San Diego Chargers. We'll be back with more Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.